Yohuch Anjajak Haiwishka. Good morning. My name is Fawn Sharp. I serve as president of the National Congress of American Indians and vice president of the Quinault Indian Nation. Welcome to the 2021 White House Tribal Nations Summit. While we're not able to gather in person in Washington, D.C. this year, our virtual space is simultaneously connecting all of Indian country with the White House directly from our ancestral homelands. As NCAI president, I've long advocated for a tribal nation-driven agenda and recognize the real source of our collective strength, wisdom, and knowledge lies deep within Indian country. Today, we have an exciting opportunity to draw on those strengths from every region and directly engage with President Biden and Vice President Harris at the highest levels of their administration on the most pressing and urgent issues facing all of Indian country. Within hours of being sworn in, President Biden reached out to Indian country and made it clear we were among his top priorities, and our voice, views, and vision would be heard, respected, and honored. We must not take these opportunities for granted. Rather, we must take full advantage of this historic moment and opportunity and put our absolute very best minds, hearts, and goodwill forward. Thank you, and see you quill. At this time, I'd like to introduce Chairman Tahasi Hill for our opening prayer. Chairman, the floor is yours.
Yonko, President Sharp, for the introduction. Suguli Swagwek, Tahasi Daze, Nyungyats, Wagesle Wage, Nyungi Talora, Manyota Aga, Nyi Talonkawan, Wahnage. Greetings, everyone. Tahasi Hill, Chairman for Oneida Nation of the Bear Clan. People of the Standing Stones, and my home is what we refer to as a place of bountiful ducks. It is my honor this morning to be before you to provide the opening prayer this morning. I'll be doing our Gunahela Dungsla, it's our Thanksgiving address, with a brief translation afterwards. Dauna Ganjokwa, Asuruhuns Yoste, Jihnate Ohundu Gunahela Dungsla. Agwego Uskaji Adwahwe Nuni Ungwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Yunki Nuha Ohunjage, Ji Sego Inadli Wadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduha Kingwah Nigol. Agwego Uskaji Adwahwe Nuni Ungwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Oh Neganos Hogu, Ji Sego Inadli Wadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduha Kingwah Nigol. Agwego Uskaji Adwahwe Nuni Ungwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Onegli Suha, Ji Sego Inadli Wadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduha Kingwah Nigol. Agwegos Gaji Adwahwe Nuni Ngwah Nigola Daitinoe Ladu, Nain Kahiwandis Awahit, Ji Sego Inadli Wadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduha Kingwah Nigol. Agwegos Gaji Adwahwe Nuni Ngwah Nigola Daitinoe Ladu, Nain Oyunkwau, Ji Sego Inadli Wadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduha Kingwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Oyunkwa U, Ji Sego Inadwad and Jado Hari Datu Yunduhaki and Gwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Asanate Godahundele, Ji Sego Inadwad and Jado Hari Datu Yunduhaki and Gwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Nyatigalundot, Ji Sego, Donadliwadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduhaki and Gwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu. Nain Gundilio Suha, Ji Sego Inadliwadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduhaki and Gwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu. Nain Gajokwa, Ji Sego Inadliwadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduhaki and Gwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Ochitas Suha, Ji Sego Inadwadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduha Kingwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Owela Suha, Ji Sego Inadwadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduha Kingwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Yodahlots and Kojiha, Ji Sego Inadliwadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduha Kingwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Litisagayon Deise, Ji Sego Inadliwadan Jedo Hari Datu Yunduha Kingwah Nigol. Agwegos Kaji Adwahwe Nuni and Gwah Nigola Daitinawe Ladu, Nain Yukisota Weh Nidale, Ji sego yunki nugula dadi dot me on do hawking guatnigol. Aguegos kajia drope nuni and guatnigula daitino we ladu, nain yoji stoke walu. Ji sego yonatu wadon gate of huddy dot me on do hawking guatnigol. Aguegos kajia drope nuni and guatnigula daitino we ladu, nain gaye ni yungwe dage. Ji sego yonatu wadon gate of huddy dot me on do hawking guatnigol. Aguegos kajia drope nuni and guatnigula daitino we ladu. Nain scanadalio, G sego in other word on jedo hari dot me on do hawking guatnigo. Aguegos gaji a doque nuni and guatnigola de tinaway ladu, nain sunquai disu, G sego in other word on jedo hari dot me on do hawking guatnigo. Dane. So that is our Thanksgiving address. We recite this when we gather as people and we give thanks to all of creation. I usually start out with thanking Mother Earth for continuing to fulfill her duties and responsibilities that were given upon creation. And then I move on to, again, thinking the waters, thinking all the different types of grasses, the medicines, the strawberries, our traditional tobacco, the trees, all the different types of trees, the three sisters, the corn, beans, and squash. Moving on to thinking all of the animals and all the different types of people, all the different types of birds, and then kind of into the greater forces referred to as, the wind, the thunders, the sun, the moon, and the stars, our four messengers, one of our prophets, kind of Delio, and ending, again, thanking Sunkwai Disu for all of creation, and that we continue to fulfill our responsibilities given to us upon creation. So again, thank you for your time and your attention, Yonko. I will now turn it over to President Hosley.
Anisha, Chairman Hill, for those good words and those blessings. We certainly have a lot to be grateful for, as pointed out. Kolomasi, and good morning to you all. The Mohican Nation, as Chairman Hill said, my name is Shannon Holsey, and I'm the president of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians. And my nation, the Mohican Nation, sends you greetings and blessings, and we hope today finds you in good health and balance. The United States of America was founded on the notion of equality for all. And since the beginning, there was an acknowledgement, certainly by previous administrations, but certainly by President Biden, that although it was always the goal of the US government to live up to its trust responsibility, this country has never fully lived up to it. And throughout our history, this promise has been denied to Native Americans who have lived on this land since time immemorial. The pandemic has highlighted this long history of inequity as it devastated tribal nations. Native Americans contracted the disease at 3.5 times the rate of white Americans. And in some states, they are dying at a rate of 5 times their population share. President Biden and his administration also actionably demonstrated the opportunity the Build Back Better framework could mean to Indian country. I applaud this administration's commitment to upholding the U.S. trust responsibility to our tribal nations. By strengthening the nation-to-nation relationship between the United States and Indian tribes and working to empower tribal nations to govern our own communities, to make our own decisions, and also for answering the call from Indian country to appoint a Native American as cabinet secretary, who went from one of our most trusted congresswomen to becoming our appointed trustee. She, as well as this administration, understands that tribal sovereignty and self-governance, as well as honoring the federal trust responsibility to tribal nations, should be the cornerstone of federal Indian policy. The phrase, work hard until you no longer need to introduce yourself, epitomizes the person I'm about to introduce, who on March 15th, 2021, just a short 8 months ago today, was confirmed as our Secretary of Interior and made history when she became the first Native American to serve as Cabinet Secretary. She is a member of the Pueblo of Laguna and a 35th generation of New Mexican. In my community, she is revered to as Mama Askina Wakatak, warrior woman. In 8 short months, she has re-engaged Indian country and amassed a team that understands the challenges we face as tribal community. She comes to this appointment prepared, poised and purpose intended. She keenly understands the challenges facing Indian country firsthand. By boldly initiating a strategy that not only identifies the much needed resources and builds upon her tribal and federal interagency relationships to address the challenges and vulnerabilities that our tribal nations face daily. Imagine at the helm of her leadership and aligned with this administration, what opportunities the next several years will bring to Indian country. She is one of the first Native American women to serve in Congress. And while in Congress, she focused on environmental justice, climate changing, missing murdered Indigenous women and relatives, and of course, family friendly policies. She continues that acute focus in her new role with purpose and intention, further demonstrated by her actions. She certainly has faced her own Arctic. She got married, she ran a marathon, and she really has taken the phrase, "Don't threaten me with a good time," to a whole new level. She has also tasked the Interior Department to address the intergenerational impact of Indian boarding schools to help shed light on the unspoken traumas of the past. The Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative will serve as an investigation about the loss of human life and the lasting consequences of residential Indian boarding schools. President Biden and this administration's bold agenda, along with his robust executive and regulatory actions to date, represents the United States' intention to capture the economic opportunity that addresses the climate changes present. These historical Build Back Better investments will be complemented by the bipartisan infrastructure deal, which will help us rebuild the arteries of our economy while accelerating clean energy, transportation, and advancing environmental justice, and of course, bolstering resilience, which we all know so much about. Secretary Hallin represents and understands what the bipartisan infrastructure deal's historic investments will make in tribal communities and what it will mean to help bolster community resilience, replacing aging infrastructure, and providing much needed support. And of course, much needed support for the climate related relocation and adaptation. She understands that climate change impacts every person on this planet, but not every person has access to life-saving resources or the ability to relocate when disaster strikes. Entire communities and cultures are at risk of being lost to the perils of climate crisis. While still creating a platform of inclusion and consultation of the sovereigns of this land who have protected, stewarded, and govern Turtle Island since time immemorial. The strength, determination, purpose, and adaptation of this warrior woman is unwavering. I am humbly and proud and honored to introduce one of the most audacious people I know, who truly represents the hopes and dreams of our ancestors, the Secretary of Interior, Deborah Hallin. Anishik.
Thank you so much for that kind introduction, President Halsey, my dear friend. Your advocacy for Indian country and your commitment to your tribe are an incredible asset to our country, and I am inspired by your leadership. Thank you again. Gwatsi Halpa, greetings, tribal leaders and esteemed guests. I'm honored to be here with you and with my colleagues and friends to welcome you all to the Biden-Harris administration's first White House Tribal Nations Summit. I'm sorry that we cannot be together in person, but I welcome the chance to speak with you today virtually. I pray that you and your communities are safe as we continue to weather this pandemic. The White House sits on the ancestral homelands of the Anacostian and Piscataway people. I hope that the ancestors are smiling down as we take the next few days to work together on the challenges and opportunities facing Indian country. The fact that I'm making these remarks in front of you today feels like a dream that was envisioned by the ancestors long before now. My story is not unlike many of yours. I grew up in a military family. I learned what it meant to be a Pueblo woman from my grandparents, my mother, and my Pueblo sisters in our community. I worked hard in school. I struggled. I raised a loving child. I embraced my identity as a descendant of boarding school survivors and advocated for my community by organizing Indigenous voters to increase our presence at the polls so that we would have a voice in our government's decisions. I knew even then that in spite of seemingly insurmountable odds, we are still here and we have a voice. A parade of voices from around the country speaking to issues that have been spoken of for generations, but which so often have been mired by indifference. Our voices have been given a new platform, and I am just one of those who have taken this historic opportunity to move past the days of inaction and apathy, to take Native issues to the forefront of policy discussions, and to ensure tribal consultation is the accepted way of doing business in Indian country. In 2008, I made an unwavering commitment to the electoral process by working tirelessly to register voters and to get out the vote for President Obama and Vice President Biden. I remember distinctly when President Obama first gathered tribal leaders here in our nation's capital to work on the important issues facing their communities. That was in 2009, and it was a breath of fresh air to see our people have a nation-to-nation conversations directly with cabinet secretaries, administrators, and representatives from across the federal government. It is with that same commitment to tribal nations that President Biden reconvenes this summit today for the first time since 2016. It is with that same commitment that President Biden appointed me as the first Native American cabinet secretary and more than 50 other Indigenous people in high-level positions throughout his administration. And we have prioritized a number of early actions to strengthen Indian country, including historic investments in tribal communities through the American Rescue Plan. Our all-of-government approach to tribal consultation, in which Native people are consulted before policies are developed, the unleashing of $1 billion in grants to increase access to broadband internet on tribal lands, and the billions of dollars that will begin to flow across Indian country thanks to the infrastructure bill that the president will sign into law today. This commitment also drives the work we do at the Department of the Interior, whether it's restoring tribal homelands and empowering tribes to make decisions for their communities, or putting the power of the federal government behind the work to address the missing and murdered Indigenous peoples crisis and the intensive process we are undertaking to heal from the terrible impacts that boarding schools have had on our communities. These things are possible because Joe Biden is our president. The last time I stood with the president, he permanently protected Bears Ears National Monument. And I can't tell you what that meant to me. I don't have to, because I know from so many of you that it meant the same. President Biden came into office at a pivotal moment for our country. It was a moment in which a global pandemic, the economic uncertainty that stemmed from that public health emergency, the climate crisis, and the impacts of historic marginalization and racial injustice were all at our doorstep. This administration understood that all of these challenges are intertwined and must be addressed head-on. We also understand that we cannot address these challenges unless we partner with and honor our nation-to-nation relationship with tribes. You all are the keepers of our traditions, the defenders of our resources, and visionaries for our future. You and your communities harness Indigenous knowledge that we need to help guide our government and our environment, not just across budget years, but across generations. This administration understands that tribal leaders know your communities best and that the right solutions are created when tribes consistently have a seat at the table. This week, will be the continuation of those important discussions. My colleagues and I have much progress to share, as well as announcements about the path ahead. But most importantly, we are here to listen and to learn. You are here to share the hopes, dreams, challenges, needs, and goals of each of your communities so that our solutions reflect your input. Throughout this summit, we will host a series of panels across a broad range of topics that impact Indigenous communities, including combating COVID-19, Native American education and Native languages, public safety and justice, climate change impacts and solutions, tribal treaty rights and sacred lands, economic and workforce development and infrastructure, housing and energy. It is my hope that we all can use this opportunity to learn from each other, expand our knowledge, and build an even stronger foundation for the future. That foundation will be made up of the trust we build together, the relationships we nurture, and the commitments to ensuring that our communities have a bright future for generations to come. Each year, this summit will serve as a milestone to measure progress, course correct where needed, and reconnect. I'm grateful to stand here on the shoulders of the many leaders who came before me. I know that I stand here because the path that many of you carved ahead of me was clear. I intend to work with and for all of you so that we can ensure that our children have every opportunity to achieve their dreams and one day stand on my shoulders to achieve even more of what is needed to help tribal nations grow and prosper. It is with that sense of purpose and with deep gratitude that I am honored to introduce a longtime friend of Indian country and our compassionate leader, the President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I say the press, excuse my back. Next time in Washington, okay? I see you all up on the board behind me, and I hope we do this in person. I hope. That's my hope. Thank you. Good morning. I want to thank you for joining us. This is a big day. I think, as my mother would say, former Senator Danny Noway is looking down going, finally. I was raised by Danny Noway in the United States Senate. And to President Fawn Sharp and Chairman Hill, the Oneida Nation, and our President Pulsey, I thank you all for what you're doing, and I want to recognize you. And Chairman Hill, I thought being from upstate New York and college, and my deceased wife is from Skaneateles Atlas Lake, not far from Oneida, New York. I thought that the Oneida Nation was all in central New York, but obviously you're up in Wisconsin. Come down and see us in Oneida. Anyway, I want to thank you, Madam Secretary, for your remarks. But I also want to thank you, Deb, for being willing to join when I asked you to come along and to serve. And as I said, I was confident at the time you would be incredibly important. When I got to the Senate, Danny Inouye took me under his wing. He helped me understand the simple truth that I had only been vaguely aware of. And that is that tribal nations do better when they make their own decisions. That's why some of the votes I took as a young senator were among my proudest, supporting the Indian Self-Determination Education Assistance Act, the Indian Child Welfare Act, the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, and so much more. When I ran for president, it was important for me to continue to make progress. And that's what we've done since I took office. When COVID-19 struck, and it hit Indian country with devastating consequences. Native Americans contracted the virus at over three times the rate of white Americans, nearly twice the rate of lives lost. Twice as many died as a percentage. But tribal nations stepped up. And today, the Native Americans have gone from being the population most harmed by COVID to one of the populations most vaccinated against COVID. That success has a lot to do with tribal leadership, but it also has to do with the American Rescue Plan, which included over $31 billion for tribal nations, the most significant investment in the history of Indian country, long overdue. Now we're taking the next step. Today I'm signing, and I'll shortly sign, a bipartisan infrastructure deal. Everyone knows we're long overdue to make major investments in infrastructure, but nobody knows that better than the Indian country. Tribal lands have been chronically underfunded for generations. And so I'm very proud to say that when I sign the bill outside in the South Lawn shortly, the single largest investment in tribal infrastructure ever is going to occur, more than $13 billion in direct investments to Indian country and tens of billions more in grants and future funding opportunities. Funding for clean drinking water, high-speed internet, roads and bridges, environmental cleanups, and so much more. But we can't stop there. We need Congress to pass my Build Back Better plan as well. Today, 1 in 10 Native American parents have reported having to quit or change their jobs or turn down an opportunity due to a child care challenge. This bill would save most families thousands of dollars per year in child care, helping moms and dads rejoin the workforce. But also, this bill, if when it passes, will allow every 3- and 4-year-old in the nation to attend high-quality preschool, increasing considerably their chances of getting all the way through the first 12 years of primary school and on to college. It includes the most significant investment to tackle the climate crisis in history. And I might note parenthetically, no group of Americans has created and cared more about preserving what we inherited than the tribal nations. And it will be expanded. This also will expand health coverage, lower costs for millions of Americans. You know, we have to continue to stand up for the dignity and sovereignty of tribal nations. My dad used the word dignity, I think, more than any other word. He said, everyone is entitled to be treated with dignity. I was proud to reestablish the White House Council on Native American Affairs and to issue a memorandum my first week in office, instructing my entire administration to engage in regular, meaningful consultation with tribal nations. I was kidding my wife, Jill, who'll be out here shortly. She's visited the Navajo Nation so many times, I'm worried she's not going to come home. But look, I've been proud. I'm proud to name Native American leaders in my administration, not only the first Native American cabinet secretary, and it won't be the last in history, but more than 50 Native Americans now serving in significant roles in my administration. We've also taken action to protect tribal lands, revoking the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline, preserving and protecting a sacred homeland, including Bear's Ears and the Grand Staircase Escalante. It's part of who we are as a nation, and I'm grateful to the tribes who led the effort. You know, we also can be proud of that progress, but there's still so much more to do. So today I'm announcing 5 new initiatives. First, a new initiative involving 17 departments and agencies to protect tribal treaty rights in the work of the federal government. Second, a new initiative to increase tribal participation in the management and stewardship of federal lands. Third, my administration will be the first to work with the tribes to comprehensively incorporate tribal ecological knowledge into the federal government's scientific approach, helping us fight climate change. And fourth, taking action to protect the greater Chaco landscape in northwestern New Mexico from future oil and gas drilling and leasing. And fifth, I'm about to sign an executive order in a moment addressing the crisis of violence against Native Americans. Today, I'm directing federal officials to work with tribal nations on strategies to improve public safety and advance justice. This builds on the work we did together in reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act in 2013, when we granted authority to tribes to exercise jurisdiction over non-Indian offenders who commit violence on tribal lands. We're going to reauthorize that again. We're going to expand the jurisdiction to include other offenses like sex trafficking, sexual assault, and child abuse. These efforts, again, to use the word my dad would use so much, are a matter of dignity. That's the foundation of our nation-to-nation partnership. That's what this summit is all about. So I want to thank everyone who's here for participating, and I look forward to continuing to work together. And now it's my honor to sign an executive order, and a couple of my friends are going to be coming out here, I'm told, cabinet members. But, you know, here we go. Where is everybody? Jill. Jill's here, the Attorney General. We got the all guys. What is there? All right, Jill. I don't know what was going on back there, but they're all here. Okay, I was worried you weren't going to come out and hang out. Good to see you. All right. The title of this legislation is Improving Public Safety and Criminal Justice for Native Americans and Addressing the Crisis of Missing or Murdered Indigenous People. I'm proud to sign it. It's long overdue. There you go, Madam Secretary. General?
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Secretary?
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you all so very much. We're going to make some substantial change in Indian country, and it's going to continue. Thank you all.
Thank you.
You ask me that all the time, and I give you the same answer. I've been confident since the day I stepped in office.
What are you going to talk to the presidency about? Are you hoping to lower the temperature with China? Do you think you can lower the temperature with China tonight?